Let me switch to the second presentation. In this talk, we will present the first dem Gauss-Newton algorithm. Yes. And this is beyond strong work of Victor Tsiolkovsky and Andrei Tsiolkovsky. And you already know that there are another kind of algorithm for NTF and for CB that the honest one algorithm, and one of the only one algorithm is the dem Gauss-Newton algorithm. But usually for dem Gauss-Newton algorithm, we always need to compute the Jacobian or the gradient and the Hessian, and usually the Hessian is very, very huge or very large. And basically we need to invert very large the approximate Hessian. And in this presentation, we will introduce how to avoid this problem, how to avoid building up the Hessian, and also how to avoid the last invert of last Hessian. And now this is outline of my talk that we will present the implicit expression for the Jacobian matrix, and we will find the fast way to compute the gradient, and also to compute the approximate Hessian. And especially here we will present the low range adjustment for the approximate Hessian. And then by on this low range adjustment, we will present a very special technique to avoid the inverse of last Hessian. I skip this because I already mentioned in the first previous slide. Okay. And in order to derive the dem Gauss-Newton algorithm, we consider the similar cost function proposed by Patro in 1979. But here you see here, this is a cost function to approximate the tensor by n factor. With this, the two regulations term, this term is read here, and this term is read here. This term is to enforce the non-negative constraint on the factor n, an. And this term to involve the sparsity constraint, and of course alpha and beta is zero, positive. And as you see here, to update the honest one algorithm is that we update on the factor at the same time, and here to build, we follow this, we use this update rule, with vector eight is that's okay. You see. This is vectorization of factor A1, and then you concatenate on the vectorization to very long factor, very long vector, and we employ this update rule to update the factor. But you see here, we need to compute the Jacobian here, the Hessian, the approximate Hessian here, and also the gradient here. And of course we need to compute the Jacobian. From the Jacobian, we compute the gradient following this form, and also compute the Hessian, approximate Hessian following this form. And of course, this is demand high computational cost. And of course, the invert of this matrix of psi, given here, is demand a lot of time, and also, yes. And we will present here on the way to avoid this problem. In this slide, we will show that how to compute the Jacobian matrix. This is partial derivative of the approximate tensor, which respects only one component. And we saw this. This will be expressed in the very compact form, which this one is the Kronecker product of on the component R in on the factor except the factor N. And Pn is the permutation matrix. You see here, this is the relation between the vectorization of the tensor and vectorization of the most N matrixization of the tensor. It's quite complicated here. But you see here, if you vectorize your data, and And this one is that you vectorize the mode and matrixization of the tensor. And this is a relation between two vectorization. And we find the compact form for the Jacobian matrix, J here. And we feel we from this result, we find the gradient matrix. This one is the final result for the gradient matrix. And if we, you see here, this one is the gradient of the tensor, which represents to the factor n, the factor 1, and this one is the gradient of the approximation tensor, which represents to the factor n. And the gamma matrix expressed here is that the Hadamard product of on this term, but except the factor n, except the term n. And so this is square matrix. And the next slide, we will present how to compute the approximate Hessian. The idea is like this. We consider the approximate Hessian at the n by n block matrix. And we will find the expression for every block here. This theorem will give how to compute the submatrix. Has a submatrix like this. You have if n by if for how to say this is the diagonal block matrix is n equal to m. If you have the diagonal block matrix, and this is computed by gamma n Kronecker product of gamma with the identity matrix of psi I sub n, and this is just the diagonal matrix. And for the off-diagonal submatrix, when n is not equal to m, we can decompose this submatrix into this form. This is the diagonal matrix. This is the block diagonal matrix, not diagonal matrix. This is block diagonal matrix, and this is also the block diagonal matrix. We will express here in the next slide. So, a very nice property of the approximate Hessian is that we can spread the approximate Hessian under the low rank adjustment. You see here, J here is the block diagonal matrix. P we already defined the previous line, and this is just the permutation matrix. And Z here is the block diagonal matrix following in this form. And K here is the square matrix of psi n r square by n r square. And each block in each submatrix of the K matrix here given in this form. P here. Okay. In the next slide, we will see here how to visualize the Hessian and how we can understand the low rank adjustment for the approximate Hessian here. The approximate Hessian, and it is a Z matrix. You see here the block diagonal matrix. Z matrix is also block diagonal matrix, and K have very particular structure. And of course here, if we employ the binomial inverse theorem, we can avoid the inverse of large scale of the large Hessian matrix by this form. And if we compute here, instead of compute the inverse of the approximate Hessian, we only compute the inverse of the J matrix, the K matrix, and also inverse of this term. And this term have very small dimension because this term is have psi of n by k n r square by n r square. And inverse of the J matrix had we can quickly compute it by block, because it's a block diagonal matrix. So instead of compute the inverse of the whole matrix, we compute the inverse of its submatrix along the diagonal. So you have here, and we also have how to compute the inverse of the K matrix. It have very nice expression here. And finally, from the Damgård-Newton of Dextrum, we find we step we formulate the fast damp Gauss-Newton algorithm that we replay here, the approximation Hessian, and we find here this the fast damp Gauss-Newton, which Z with okay this term I will show you this term is that this sum. And the L matrix is this product, which this is can also expressed by the block diagonal matrix. So finally, you see here the dashed is much smaller with the Phi matrix is much smaller than the approximation Hessian, and in this case we can dramatically reduce the complexity of the inverse of this matrix in comparison to the inverse of this the approximate Hessian. And of course we don't need to construct the Jacobian matrix, we don't need to compute the approximate Hessian. Maybe I need to, okay. So in this the next slide you can see here how to tune the parameter, how to tune the parameter in our algorithm. A very simple and also very efficient that's proposed by Patron in 1979. That's very similar like this. If we initialize on the log bar barrier parameter by a last enough value, and then we gradually reduce the parameter, and then we can, after 5 or 10 iterations, we can get the conversion, the solution. And we don't use this approach, we use another, and this one is based on the KKT condition. And this leads to the minimize of this problem. This function is that to this condition. Okay. And next to the simulation. A similar simulation you see here for three-dimensional tensor of which size 100 by 100 combined by 10 components. Yes, but the component we thought to be collinear with the order by this form. And we see here with the multiplicative KL and with the multiplicative LS, the green line and the yellow line is converged after 100 iteration, 100, I don't know here, 10,000 iteration, and the algorithm cannot convert to the solution. And our algorithm, the LM, the fast LM algorithm is quickly converted after only 100 iteration. Yeah. Another application, another experiment that we test with 1,000 by 1,000 by 1,000 and with the component, you see here 100 component, it's really huge, and the fast LM algorithm is also quickly fit the data after 15 or 16 iteration, and other algorithm cannot fit the data. It's too much, but maybe I skip this slide. This is for to spread to for structural metric, but maybe I need to plan on. This is an application with the Olivetti Faye database that we classify the data. That we from the data we have 400 Faye, and then we transform the Faye to Gabor by the Gabor wavelet into this such kind of tensor 16 by 16 by 32 because we have here a orientation and 4 scale, and of course we have here the last dimension is the number of Faye 400, and we extract filter from this tensor. For the first stage, we extract by 32 NTF, so we have here. And the next stage that we employ the NMF to extract the filter from the last one, the last factor, and the performance we obtain here, you see. But the KL algorithm is only 80%, with the ALS 88%, is maybe better with the ALS with 93%, but our algorithm is 94%, and if we employ the sparsity constraint, we obtain 100% with 10 phase. No, it's not 10 phase, 10 class That means we have 100 faith. Yes. And we switch to the conclusion. For, you see here, we already proposed the fast algorithm to for NMF, the fast dam Gauss-Newton for NTF. And the algorithm we propose here don't need to compute the large-scale Jacobian and also large-scale Hessian, the approximate Hessian. And we avoid the inverse of the last Hessian. And you, especially you see here, without the non-negative trend, the fast lamb Gauss-Newton will be the fast lamb IRM algorithm for canonical polyadic decomposition. That this is similar to the algorithm proposed by Bartolo and Tomasi, but our algorithm is faster. Thank you. Thank you. We measure the fishnet, and also it's similar to we measure the relative error to, you see here. This is the relative error, but we don't express how to compute this error. This is very simple. That we okay, from the conference and you. This. So we compute this error and divide by norm of the tensor. Yes, this is a relative error. Yes. No, I use this from Bernays norm, so we don't use another kind of measurement. Yes, thank you.